Hey, this is Darryl Strawberry, and you listen to the Daniel Baldwin Show.
This is Anthony Munoz.
Hi, this is Bruce Smith.
Hi, this is Cornelius Bennett.
Jim Kelly, you're listening to the Daniel Baldwin Show.
Hi, it's Dean King.
This is Chris Berman, a.k.a. the Swami. I am predicting that you are listening to the Daniel Baldwin Show on ESPN Radio.
This is the Daniel Baldwin Show. A woman on
the radio. Hey, now. Mics are hot. The mics are hot, and we are on live, the big show from Charlotte, North Carolina, where the ACC tournament is taking place. Syracuse University wins last night over Pitt, 73-59. Paulie the Mole.
Jared Wilson Frame was hot as a mic last night in the first half.
He came out in the first half, and I sat in the media dining area with all the guys, the Pitt guys. I didn't know they were the Pitt guys, and I'm wearing the Syracuse shirt, and they're these old school guys in suits, and we're starting to talk about the game, blah, 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 and I went, yeah, I don't like Pitt's chances tonight. And they just all looked up at me, and they went, yeah, we're the announcers for Pitt. I went, oh, sorry. But he did, Wilson Frame came out, and he... It, not only was he hot, but he was hitting shots that were contested from, you know, two steps deep past the three-point line. And then in the second half, he looked like, I mean, we were sitting right courtside, you and I, so you could really get a good look at his face. He looked very unsure of himself.
Well, he couldn't get, the defense was completely better in the second half. I disagree with you that his shots were uncontested in the first half. He got a lot of open looks, and I think that's a major problem with Syracuse's defense over the past five games. Is even from deep, there's still people are getting shots off that,
particularly against the
are
three.
Open.
Yeah, particularly against the three. Their rotation has been susceptible, and mostly I've noticed over the last season in the corners. You know, they have a hard time defending Giddey out in the corner, which is. You know, going to be a problem when you're playing teams like they're playing tonight, you know, I mean, because they've got five guys that can hit that shot. So it's going to be a tough one tonight. Battle, I don't think he's going to play. I just don't think they're going to play.
Well, in his interview with Matt Park yesterday, he said, Coach Boeheim said it was going to be 2 to 3 days. So.
Right. Well, but it happened at Clemson.
Yeah.
So when are we starting that clock? 2 to 3 days from now?
From yesterday.
Oh, from yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then he's definitely not going to play. An interesting question, and I was talking with the great one, Ed Levine, owner of the mega dynasty that is known as Galaxy Media. And he thought, I suggested that Zion might not play. And the reason why I thought that is, you know, I don't think even without Zion, if Battle's not playing, I don't think we're going to match up very well against Duke. I think they're going to exploit some of our weaknesses, minus not having Battle. So I don't like our chances in that game. And with that said, do they let Zion rest another day? And Ed turned around and said, well, I think you got to get him in part of the game just to get him back going again.
Yeah, I think if he plays, he's going to play 20 minutes tonight. He's not going to play.
Right.
A full go, and they may not need to. And I know that sounds kind of negative, but they may not need him for 40 minutes against Syracuse if they continue to play the way they have.
Well, yeah, they're deeper than we are for sure. So you know, they can afford without him, particularly because we don't have Battle. My argument about it is if it's an injury to Zion that could be poked, if you will, you know, or aggravated. By his playing, why would you play him in this round of the ACC tournament? What does it matter? If Duke lost to Syracuse, I think they're still a one seed.
No, they'll be a two seed.
So is Gonzaga going to be a one seed?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah.
Even though St. Mary's beat them?
Yes.
Is St. Mary's better than Syracuse?
They only have two losses.
Okay. Well, they play
in... St. Mary's could possibly be better than Syracuse.
They don't play
yes.
in the ACC.
Well, yeah, so?
Okay, well, so...
Gonzaga beat Duke.
They did. Yeah. Very early in the season,
yeah.
They did.
Yeah, so.
For sure.
They're definitely a one seed.
So St. Mary's would kill Duke.
Where would you get that
Gonzaga.
Logic from?
Because they beat Gonzaga.
Are you just being stupid now?
Yes. Yes, I'm poking you. I drop it, Bulk. Drop it. My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
Oh, my
Buddy
God.
Buddy Boeheim comes out of Sleepy Hollow and drops... five trays.
See, I'm putting my money on Frank Howard. This is Frank Howard's team, and he's gonna. That's my guess. He's going to take. He's gonna put it on himself.
He's gonna pass the ball to Buddy Boeheim.
To make this right.
How many trays did Boeheim have?
Buddy Boeheim.
You have four or five?
Let me look. I got to open up the... Oh, for God's sake.
He had three.
You had three?
Three. Three for eight.
20 points. You're on fire. X Factor.
Frank Howard had 18 points. We were both right.
Buddy Boeheim at 20.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, Buddy Boeheim at 20. He was the X Factor.
Way, yeah, way to go out on a limb and pick the guy who's replacing the hurt guy to do well.
Okay, but hang on a second. Wouldn't you have thought that O'Shea or somebody who's not a freshman, you know what I mean, in his first ACC, come on. Come on.
I mean, Elijah Hughes scored 18.
Give a little
love. They had three players score
near 20 points.
Yeah, and that's pretty good.
Well, the thing that's really good is they scored 73 points.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take that defense and score 73 against everybody and take my chances.
And you want to know what the difference was in the second half? Pascal Chuka. If you really want to put, you know,
yeah,
they could not score on the inside, and he played with three fouls the whole second half. He was great.
He was, and you know, and the thing that we brought up yesterday that I will say about him, you know, and I sometimes we do the show and I digest afterwards. I think about the show. I think about what we talked about, and I made the comment that Chuka is not an NBA player coming right out of college. But I'll say this. I remember, and I told this story about Barkley telling me, you never understand what a weapon Manute Bol was, or any guy that's over 7 feet tall if they've got the long wingspan, because they change so many shots, and they're not going to get credit for actually blocking, but Pascal, he stood tall in there.
He had changed, 6 blocks last night.
But how many shots he changed because they got caught in the air and there was nowhere to go, or they made errant passes. He created some turnovers, even though he didn't quite get the ball himself. So, yeah, he was very effective. That's a very astute point that you make.
All my points are astute.
Let's not get carried away.
Speaking of astute, is Josh there today?
Yes, I am here.
He just woke up. He totally woke up.
Hello.
He's on the couch. He's on the band couch. Are you lying on the band couch?
No, I'm Hogan and I, big Tommy Salami and I are in here hanging out.
How was the morning show?
Delightful as always.
Gigantic?
Massive, gigantic, throbbing morning show as always.
Wow. Any high points you want to discuss and have let our audience replay that mega memory?
Well, no, they can go listen to my show, I guess, if they want to do that.
Wow!
Did you stay up and watch the game?
Come on now!
Oh, come
Are
on!
You crazy?
Really?
No,
a 9 o'clock start.
I was asleep by 8:45.
What is it with people not being able to stay up?
He's hammered at 8:30.
Yeah, I was bombed. I was bombed by 8:30.
I don't get this whole "I gotta be up in the morning, I gotta go to bed" thing when you have
some
jobs
people
to
have
do.
Real jobs, Paulie, unlike you.
I worked the game, and now I'm here sitting doing this.
What time did you get up this morning?
About 8?
I got up at 5, and I got in at 1.
We had a kid that was supposed to work the post-game show last night, so I got to get up in the morning to go to work. Well, yeah, don't have another job then.
I called into Seth's show from outside the hall of the hotel. I did. I called. Now we're working all night, all day, all night. Me, Reese Davis, you know, just chilling with the boys at the ESPN National Bench. Come on. Come on, Josh. Paulie's look right now. So, wait, this is a great moment. So, I just take this radio media pass, and I go walking down, you know, the front runway where all the, like, the big guns are sitting and everything. Right in the middle, of course, is the ESPN guy. So, one door down from the statistician and Reese Davis, who's doing the national feed, is an empty chair. So I turn around, I sit down. The guy on the left of me looks at me. I take the card and I scratch out what it says, and I write Daniel Baldwin, and I slid the card forward. And it's everything's typed really nice. Mine's in my crappy printed handwriting. And people walked on the other side and looked down at it each time and looked at me, and I went, gave him a wave. No one moved me. So I'm sitting with the ESPN.
That's pretty.
Didn't you break like a big rule by having logoed stuff on in the press row?
Yes.
Are you not supposed to do that?
Yeah, and I told you.
No, and do you think anyone said anything to me about it? What about when I was yelling at the ref from the press row?
Yeah,
let's go, ref, wake up!
God.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Syracuse top. And yeah, and the funny thing is, the one African American ref comes over to me at halftime. He wants to take a picture with me. So he goes in, he gets his phone, he takes a picture with me, and then he puts his phone away. I'm like, yeah, you go, buddy. Yeah, I was yelling.
Good
for
to be
Syracuse.
Baldwin, man.
Well, sometimes, you know.
Sometimes, yeah.
Fat Alec, come on. I'll take it. Front row next to Reese on the national feed, talking to the boys about what to expect from Syracuse, and then shoot my big mouth off, and late, like 2 minutes left, they're on a break, and I go, man, I'm going to be golden tomorrow because I called it that Boeheim would light it up today. And they're like, you did? I go, yeah, I did. Bulk, drop it. Drop it, Bulk. Drop it. My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
I love that you've gotten one thing right in 2 years, and that's all of a sudden we've got to hear
that is
it every
so, That is so not true. I have done national feed ESPN quatrains that have been absolutely dynamic and accurate. How can you? How dare you? 14 weeks we were on Le Batard under 19 assumed names.
I would like you to drop it completely out of the system. No. And erase it from memory.
My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
I am going to quit this show. I can't even stand it.
So wait, let me tell you what you have to look forward to. So here's what you have to look forward to. Here are my text messages to Hoagie.
You're so proud of yourself. It's embarrassing.
You have to replay when it's queued up. I'm going to say drop it, Bulk. Then you play it. I'm going to have you do it 3, 4, 5 times. It should drive Paulie crazy. My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
I've never seen a person so proud of himself before. You're so happy.
I just love the fact that...
Look at the stupid grin on your face. You can't wave it off.
I can't. The great one has spoken. The great Mr. Daniel has spoken.
The X Factor.
Now, this is Bulk taking some of his own production responsibilities himself. He's taking it by the horns. He knows.
He's feeling the vibe of the show. He's playing jazz right now.
Listen, he's trying to get Paulie to quit.
Was there like a bet beforehand if I do an 11 over under on the amount of times I play it before Paulie slams his mic down and walks out?
The over under on this is 50.
I like that at 11 o'clock at night you're texting him to cut your audio. But you texted him last night to cut his audio.
Oh, for sure I did. I said, you got to find it. He goes, where do you think it's to go? I don't know. Isn't that your job? I just say the dumb stuff. You got to find out where I said it.
He had no idea where it was. And then when I found it, he goes, yeah, I figured it was there. I'm like, come on. What do you mean you figured it was there?
I did. I knew it all along. I was testing you.
Sure you were.
I want to see how bad you want it, Bo. Listen, I'm the one that wants to have you on the air all the time. I had to get in front of the boss a lecture about taking new guys and putting them on the air and how they got to earn their way. I'm like, this is Bulk Hogan.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm there for you, bud.
That's why
I'm
was cutting it up at 12:30 at night for you.
That's right. I see the dedication. And I will say this. Paulie will acknowledge this, too. In defense of Paulie and for accreditation for you, Paulie said, no, you know what he does. He's on it. You know, you got to remember, too. Yeah, you're not being judged against the most talented gene pool here either.
You're replacing Neil.
Right. Yeah. So the fact that
I'm
you show up
heartbroken
and can,
over Odell leaving the Giants.
I know. We should have had a clip of him. Just somebody got him recording something saying about how he feels about that trade.
I know. I was thinking about him as soon as they made the announcement.
I did a wellness check. I called him immediately.
I'll be okay, Paulie. Thanks for checking in.
He did. That was basically it. It was, yeah, thanks. Our owner's smoking crack.
He's out of his mind.
Wow.
Go Browns.
Yeah. I missed it. Go Browns. Yeah, he's going to move to Cleveland.
Yeah.
He's moving to Cleveland.
I miss him already.
I do. His blonde hair.
I wish he would have called me before he left.
I will never forget that day when we just turned around and said
we
to him.
We don't need to react.
Yeah. You all know what I'm talking about. I looked at him and I thought, he's just not okay. He's not okay.
He has a man crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a man crush. I've seen men in the entertainment business. Rob Lowe has been a friend of mine for many years, and I always looked at this guy. He's 58 years old now, and he looks like he's 30. And I always go, God, this guy is amazing handsome. Blah, blah. It never ages. That doesn't mean that I want to have sex with him. It doesn't mean that. There's not even a thin line. There's a giant chasm between those two statements in my life. So, anyway, all right, let's go to break on that note, and we'll be right back after this.
Live from Coco and the Director in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Daniel Baldwin Show, brought to you by Pathfinder Bank, Faron and Son Funeral Home, CNYRealtor.com, and GEICO.
Hey now, and we're back. We're going to go play some So What with K-Rock Josh, but I got to tell you, we got a caller?
Yeah.
We got a caller. Let's take a caller. Who's on the line?
Dave.
Big Dave?
Yeah.
Dave, you there?
Hey. Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, man, I got some windshield time, and I'm sitting here, and I'm laughing my butt off. You know, you guys had that, we did that orange out thing at the Duke game. You guys came to the mall, and I don't know if you remember me, Daniel. I'm a bigger guy in an orange shirt. That's like 80% of the town, right?
Yeah, but, it narrows it down to olive syrup.
Anyway, that eats at Dinosaur Barbecue.
I don't know. I probably had barbecue sauce on me right now. So I'm sitting here. I'm driving down the road, and I'm just laughing. All the other radio shows, regardless of what the content is, the banter, the way you guys fit in the banter in between the topics is just freaking hilarious, you know?
So, I'm glad you liked
anyway,
it, man.
It's good stuff. But I just, I wanted to throw something in there. How interesting was it last night, with the game? You're sitting there and you're watching, a player on the Pittsburgh team bumps into Dolezal and he goes flying 16 feet. Do we have a strength and conditioning coach that can just sit these guys down for 4 hours a day and feed them potatoes?
Okay, so here's what happened. So they've got different coaches that their expertise, is different guys. And so Coach Griff has the big guys. And so I said to Griff, I said, here's the two things you need to do. I need to come down to practice. You need to give me the big guys, and I'm going to bring a broom handle. And every time Pascal Chukwu takes the ball below his chin, I'm going to smash him in the thigh with a broom handle. I said, I promise
then
you.
You're going to prison.
I said, I promise you. This is what they do is called caning. And so I'm going to cane that kid, and you will see. He will grab the rebound. He will never dribble it again. He will never bring it down. After about 15 minutes and 19 welts on both of his thighs.
Do you know that's illegal?
He will not drop the ball below his chin. Now, as far as Dolezal is concerned, Dolezal needs to come out to the Baldwin farm, and we're going to feed the kid. I mean, he's from some country where I guess they gave him half a turnip and a slice of fish every day.
To think that they don't try and bulk these guys up is silly.
No, they do, but it's just some of them don't put on weight.
Listen.
There is a certain amount, I agree, that's your metabolism, but the times have changed, which is, I think, where Dave is going with this. When I played football in college, you sat at a table, and they put the steaks on you, and they went, eat it. So with this kid who wants to suck on a lollipop in the elevator and wants to eat stuff, no, you can get him to put on weight through certain nutritional shakes.
Do you think they're not doing that?
Do you think that he's doing what he needs to do to gain the weight? No. Send him over to my house. I'll bring Dolezal in at 275 in 6 months, or I'll cane his ass.
I remember when I first started this job, I used to sit with one of the trainers, uh-huh. and they used to sit and make Hakeem Warrick eat ice cream sundaes after dinner. Everybody else got to leave dinner, and Hakeem Warrick had to sit and eat ice cream. They do that with all the players.
So you know what you do? You go back to the Bobby Knight school. Listen, I can have my opinion. It doesn't mean you, but
well, it's a dumb opinion to think that you can beat people.
So here's my opinion. I wasn't going to say that. But that's for Chukwu bringing the ball below his chin.
We'll tie him down and just gorge him.
Let's waterboard him. Waterboard Chukwu.
Coach Gitmo over here.
So here's the answer, though. Watch this. So you turn around, you look at him, you put him on a scale after the season's over this year, and you tell him, if you don't weigh 20 pounds more next season, you're not playing. You're not going to play. Put on 20 pounds. Watch how fast the kid puts on the 20 pounds if he thinks he's not going to play. But they won't do that. They got their phones. We got Jim from Pathfinder Bank. Finally, but 2 days late, but he's here.
Yesterday.
He's here. Hey-o.
Good morning,
Dave,
gentlemen.
Thanks for the call, bro.
We got
Dave's gone. Bye, Dave.
We got Jim from Pathfinder here to play So What with us. So,
all right, Jim's going to play So What.
Great.
Josh, you take us out.
I'm so excited.
It's time for...
I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I just can't...
So what?
It's unlistenable radio. You understand
the
me?
The Daniel Baldwin Show.
So What is brought to you by the Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus. Catch all the action on their big screen TVs. Enjoy a delicious meal, family-friendly atmosphere, and fun for everybody. The Wildcat Sports Pub in Camillus. Well, in a surprise that wasn't really a surprise, after signing Nick Foles, the Jags have officially released Blake Bortles.
So what?
Who didn't see that coming?
Yeah, I mean, someone's going to pick him up. Someone will get him as a backup.
Well, he'd be a decent backup, yeah.
Yeah, he's got experience. He'd be a great backup, but he's never going to start in the NFL again unless someone gets hurt.
They're certainly paying him too much for what he was delivering.
Yeah.
He also got him. He got a team to the AFC Championship game, too.
Yeah, he was.
Don't sleep on that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but that didn't matter when I said Colin Kaepernick took a team to the Super Bowl, and you said he still sucked.
Well, he did suck.
Okay, well, okay. See what I mean? It depends on what side.
I'm not saying Bortles doesn't suck. But he'll get a job because of what he's done.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind if the Steelers had him as a backup.
I think they're going to sign Kaepernick to back him up. What I think.
That would add to the excitement in Pittsburgh,
We've now added another team to the list that's going to sign Colin Kaepernick. This is a guy who's so proud of himself when he's right. If you keep throwing poop at the wall, it's eventually going to stick.
Hey, Polk, do me a favor, Polk. In the middle of So What, drop it. Drop it, Polk. Drop it.
Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
So, thank you.
Way to go out on a limb.
Thank you.
The New York Giants are rumored to stick with Eli through the 2019 season, reportedly eating up $17 million against the cap. And carry a debt at money charge of $6.2 million. He's expected to earn $11.5 million salary this year, $500,000 workout bonus, and a $5 million roster bonus if he's still on the team this Saturday at 4 p.m.
It's fine. It doesn't matter who they have at quarterback this year. There's nobody to throw the ball to anymore.
You know, it all sounds good, but I'm going to tell you what my opinion it really boils down to. If the New York Giants thought that they were a Super Bowl threat this year, that Eli would not be quarterbacking that team, I don't think.
Well, they would have kept Beckham, too, you know.
Right. Well, you could make the argument that what they got for him was, you know, they got a first round, a pretty good player, and a second round pick. You know, so that's your future. And he was problematic in that locker room. Now it was getting down to where he was a problem. He was talking bad stuff about the organization. If you ever want to get traded, start talking crap about the ownership, and that's your ticket out. So, you know, and there's been strong opinion on other ESPN anchors who have talked about, listen, is this what you want in Cleveland right now? You know, is that the right environment for him with a young quarterback? You know, is Beckham going to be a problem over there? So, you know, let's hope his play outdoes his mouth and he learns to be happy out there. Because, you know, and another thing, too, well, I'm going to bring this up later. Go ahead, Jim. You guys, Jim?
$17 million cap space you can pick up. He's an aging quarterback. If they're going to keep him, you better draft a young quarterback this year. Draft him early in the first round. I think they have two first-round 6th and 17th pick or something like that. And then he's a mentor, and he helps you bring him up. If that's not the goal, I don't know, other than out of respect for a two-time Super Bowl MVP, but that's a lot of money and a lot of respect.
If they don't draft somebody, dumping them stupid also, because then you're going to have Blake Bortles, who's your starting quarterback, you know. So
who do the Giants – you think the Giants are going to draft a quarterback? Then they have to draft somebody this year, right? Or trade for somebody.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were to go after Rosen.
Josh Rosen, that's a great point, yeah.
Yeah.
They could easily.
I could see them going after Rosen.
But I have an inside source of the Cardinals who thinks they like Rosen, so.
I think they'll like him, too. But, again, you know, it doesn't mean if they make you an offer, you know, that builds your program. So, we'll see. We'll see. Not a so what.
Wrapping up the quarterback segment of this today's So What, Drew Brees reportedly restructured his contract, opening up $11 million in cap space for the Saints.
You know, that's just the guy he is, man. You know, he's just how smart. He wants to win. He wants to win another title. He's a company guy.
Yeah, it's a great statement of his character, and they're close. They were very talented last year. One bad call away from making it, so...
If they can spend the money on somebody good, you know, do they have a plan?
Do they have a plan?
I'm asking Josh a question plan, that I know he
I only know the Drew Brees part. I don't know about their plan. I don't know about plans. Wow. A single trade deadline, an all-star game election day, and $1 million bonus for the home run derby winner will be implemented in the Major League Baseball for 2019.
I love the trade deadline thing. I hated the fact that you do the trade deadline and then a month later you're doing the waiver trade deadline. So I like that. In the home run derby, who cares?
Who cares? So what?
But it's going to make people want to do it now, because a lot of people say no to doing it because they think it jacks up their swing in the middle of the season. So who knows?
Really? Just that one home run thing you think it's screwed? That's interesting.
Yeah. Mike Piazza used to struggle with it. Like, he couldn't hit home runs in the home run derby because he had to change the speed of his swing so much.
Yeah, because they're throwing it like a steady just 85 pill right down the middle, and it's not like you're facing the regular stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in my experience, the one guy that I was the closest to, that I had the most experience with and actually played softball with several times, was Canseco. And he told me, he said, you know, many of the times when he would hit a home run is because he guessed the pitch. I mean, he knew how fast the guy could throw, so you knew how you had to shorten your swing up or whatever, depending on how hard he could throw it. And you just guessed. All right, here it comes. That's why they would look so fooled sometimes on a breaking ball, because they guessed fastball, and they were so far in front of it, because you were waiting to see if he's going to hum it by him. But when they guessed right, it's when they hit those towering,
the monster
shots. Oh, my God. That guy could smack him. What else you got, Josh?
Finally, data has been analyzed on the internet to show that Leonardo DiCaprio has never dated a woman over the age of 25.
God bless you, Leo.
Who's got that much time
to analyze the data? Or
I can send you the graph, Paulie, if you'd like to see the graph. I can show it to you.
How old is Leonardo DiCaprio now?
He's 44 right now, and he's dating a 21-year-old.
Perfect.
Your parents are proud?
Yeah, perfect. Like, I don't know.
I'm dating a 52-year-old with the body of a 21-year-old.
You're damn so right you are, Daniel Baldwin.
She has a body of a 21-year-old buried somewhere in her house?
Oh, my God. So I brought to you by the Wildcats Sportsbook in Camillus. Catch all the action on the big screen TVs, SU Hoops, and more delightful meals and, of course, family-friendly atmosphere. Hogan?
My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
He is definitely the X Factor. That's a wrap on So What. Wildcats Sportsbook.
I like it. We'll be right back after this.
Live from Coco and the Director in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Daniel Baldwin Show, brought to you by Pathfinder Bank, Ferone and Son Funeral Home, CNYRealtor.com, and Geico.
What are you laughing about?
What am I laughing about? Drop it, Bulk. Drop it.
This is the...
Oh, boy.
My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. Buddy Boeheim comes out of Sleepy Hollow and drops five trays.
I choke.
Joining us is Matt Park. Matt, we made an observation early in the show that we looked over at you at Coach at halftime. We were all kind of looking going, geez, are we actually going to lose this game? We were a little shocked, no?
Look that way. Are you taking credit for the backup for the player that was missing? That was the guy.
That was my exact take,
well,
too.
No. What I'm saying.
So when Montana went out and Steve Young came in and played well, was that a big revelation?
Well, no. I think that the revelation that I made was before we knew Tyus wasn't going to play, number one, which is a big factor. We had no idea Tyus wasn't going to play when I said that yesterday morning. Number two, this is a freshman in his first ACC tournament. You would think that there were other guys that were on the list before him, even if you knew Tyus was out, like O'Shea Brissett or Howard. You know,
Other guys played well.
I didn't say they didn't. I said the X factor will be, and I believe that 20 points from Boeheim was a big factor. You don't expect that from a freshman, particularly when I said it before we knew Tyus wasn't going to play.
No, it is. You're right. You're Nostradamus.
But 1 out of 12. I get 1 out of 12 right. Can you let me have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead and drop it, Bulk.
So my prediction, Buddy Boeheim is not very often. So I've got Hoagie back in the studio just replaying it every time I cue him up.
It's going to get me to quit.
Yeah, it's going to get him to quit. My prediction. Well, Buddy Boeheim is the fire that thing.
Wear that button out.
My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is
your own
coworkers
of decades. They just love you, don't they?
Well, the emphasis would be on work. That's the problem.
Right.
But, what'd you start with? Oh, the despair at halftime. Yeah, I mean, it did look good. I didn't think it'd be impossible for them to come back because just Pitt's not that good. You know, Pitt, you can argue the best basketball they've played is the last week, the regular season finale, which was a close win against the depleted Notre Dame team. Then Boston College was completely disinterested. Pitt had a nice scoring run on them at the end of the first half and ended up blowing them out. And Jared Wilson-Frame is as good a shooter as there is in the conference, and that guy was awesome in the first half. Those things typically aren't going to be sustained. The first half of the Virginia game, we said, well, these guys aren't going to shoot lights out like this in the second half. It happened that they did, but that is really the exception. And I think they have much better ball movement in the second half, offensively, much better defense, and made the right kind of improvements to play better and to win. So it's pretty, you know, you're not going to run into a lot of teams and beat many without your best player. And
that's for sure.
And they found a way to do it last night.
That's for sure. Well, that brings up a couple of interesting scenarios now that we've been debating about. Number one that I'm going to put out there, we're pretty sure it seems that Tyus Battle is not going to play against Duke, which obviously is different than Tyus Battle not playing against Pitt. So I don't like our chances, but one of the things that I find compelling is, do you play Zion knowing you really don't need him now and give him another day's rest, or do you need to get him out there and get him some reps in preparation?
Yeah, it's irrespective of Syracuse's injury or anything. They're not playing Zion to beat Syracuse. They're playing Zion to win the national championship.
Okay.
And he's the best player in college basketball. I think he plays just because they've said all along this is the target. You know, there were two targets, I think, to get it ready. One was the last game of the regular season against North Carolina. It didn't work out. Now it's this next one, and now they're ramping up to the postseason. Mike Krzyzewski's won this tournament 14 times. It's obviously important to him, and they've had a lot of success here, and he knows what he's doing. They probably, you know, they might have a chance to win it without him. But I certainly favor them with him. And I think if certainly their goal is to win the national championship, now's the time, and you've got a nine-game run here to see if they can do it. If he doesn't play tonight, then I would start to wonder a little bit, is this whole thing, was it just for show, the illusion that maybe he's going to come back to preserve their seeding position for the NCAA tournament? But I think he wants to play. I don't think that injury was super significant, and I bet he does play tonight, and they go out, and they're very dangerous in the NCAAs.
So they're going to go in, and I think, you know, and I'm a Cuse fan and everything, I don't like our chances without, particularly without Tyus anyway, with or without Zion. I just don't think we're going to beat Duke tonight. I don't. Could it happen? Yeah, if we had, you know, three guys shoot 60% or some nonsense and we just got really hot, it could happen. But I don't like our chances. With that said, now we're waiting after a game tonight with Duke for the tournament. What does that look like? You know, you've been here a real long time, and you have far more experience than I do. What is the preparation for Syracuse now after tonight?
Well, one thing about this program is the preparation is pretty much the same day in, day out. They operate. In fact, the fact that they had a walkthrough yesterday at the Hornets practice facility before the game is, in essence, unprecedented. I've been around for every game for 15 years. I've never heard of them doing that before on the day of the game.
Was that because of Tyus?
Yes, had to be.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of a curveball, but there aren't many of those. So they'll go back. They'll have it, you know, on the assumption it's a loss today. Tomorrow's a travel day. Then, you know, kind of light practices to keep everybody fresh and sharp. And, you know, you don't know what Tyus's situation is going to be. Keep him off his legs, I would think. And then Sunday night's the selection show. They go immediately into scouting on that night, the coaches, and by Monday morning you've got a scouting report of where you're going, and you're probably traveling on Tuesday. Either Tuesday or Wednesday, you're headed out to whatever city it is, and away we go.
And so do we travel to that, Mo? Are we going? Are we at the tournament? You and me in the truck?
Salt Lake City. You would tear up Salt Lake City.
I would crush it.
Yeah, the two non-drinkers would love Salt Lake City.
Yeah, the 3.4%.
I'll
tell you, that's one of the, very fortunate, but a lot of these NCAA venues, Salt Lake City was one of the most fun. So I'm almost kind of rooting
for that.
Well,
if you want to know the alternative, I did a movie in Park City, which is there in Utah, considered Sin City, because all of the people drive up to Park City, the 30-minute drive, because no one from Salt Lake City from the churches are going to see them. So I'm in my hotel room. I come down, and the concierge says to me, you want to go down to the Horse You Rode In On, that's the name of the bar, and go see Frank, tell him I sent you. I walk in this place, it's 9:30 at night, and there's two girls cleaning the tables, getting things prepared. And I looked at the bartender, I said, are you Frank? He goes, yeah. And I said, yeah, Doug over at the so-and-so hotel sent me over to see you. He goes, yeah. He goes, Baldwin, right? I said, yeah. I said, he said, this is the place to go. There's nobody in the place. He goes, Mr. Baldwin, in 1 hour, there will be 400 women in this bar, and they will forget the three most significant things in their lives. I said, well, yeah, what's that? They don't drink, they don't smoke, and they don't hook up with guys. And I went, and sure enough, an hour later, it was packed with 6-foot-tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls that were trashed. It was the most amazing thing.
Was there caffeine, though? Did they, we're gonna go crazy.
Park
we're
City, Park
break
City,
out I, the full caffeine Coke.
Park City, I highly recommend it.
Matt, you get to also do something that everybody else in the world doesn't get to do. What's it like on Selection Sunday for the team? They have different things that they do. Yeah. Like sometimes it's at coach's house, sometimes it's at the Mueller Center.
I'm sure they'll do what they did last year. Last year was incredible because everybody was sort of working on the assumption that they weren't in the tournament, and that's one of the single most or single biggest explosions of joy totally spontaneously with, you know, the way they unveiled it. Now they're going to go back to a different unveiling, the old school way. This time they're going to just kind of go bracket by bracket. But last year and the last couple of years, CBS, when they put out the bracket, they did it alphabetically. And so you're kind of checking your notes as you go through because you don't really think of it in those terms. But when I think they kind of went back-to-back, I want to say it was some other S. It was maybe St. Mary's and Syracuse, they said, you know, announced basically on the same screen. And when that logo came up, the room just went berserk. And it was new life, and now we know what they did with that to pick off a couple wins in the tournament. Was really a blast. But this year, you know, you're going to know you're in the field, but there's still a lot of question about the range of the seating and the location and opponent. And I think you're hoping to line up with an opponent that isn't as familiar with the zone and maybe a coach that hasn't seen it or a team that doesn't play against a lot of it in the regular season. That would significantly increase our chances of winning in the first game.
So when you mentioned earlier, Matt, and I didn't realize that about the fan base size and being in this city versus Pitt, does the selection committee with where they send you, does that have anything to do, you know, with where they might send a team? Like, why do they send a team? Why would we go to San Jose versus two?
Well, there's a lot of factors. First is the top four seeds are, in essence, given protection. So the first overall seed, who likely will be Virginia, they'll get to pick, which is actually is a new thing in the last couple of years. So they're going to want to go through Washington. So they'll be the top seed in the East region. And then they'll get to pick whether they want to go through, I think it would be Columbia, South Carolina, maybe Hartford, Jacksonville. So that will set them there. Now, North Carolina or Duke, the other will be a number one seed going somewhere else either. You know, so if on the assumption Virginia's in the East, then North Carolina will probably be the number one seed in the South, or Duke if they win this tournament.
Kentucky.
And then Kentucky, unless, you know, if Kentucky wins, do they get slight preference and they stay in the South over Duke or Carolina? Now you're moving them out. Gonzaga's going to be number one in the West to go through Anaheim in the second. Or actually, Anaheim's the first weekend this year.
San Jose, Anaheim.
Yeah, there you go. So San Jose and Salt Lake, it's got to be. Yeah, but then Anaheim second week. So that's Gonzaga's path. Syracuse is likely to be what we used to call shipped out because they're not going to be a top four seed and because of the heavyweights that are in the East that are in the conference. They got to spread out the conference into the eight. You know, on the assumption, let's say there's eight ACC teams, they'll all be in the eight different pods of the bracket so that they don't play each other. So that's kind of how it, one of the things. And there's a million other deals. You know, BYU's not in the tournament, but they got to send BYU to a, you know, to what you're just saying. They have to send BYU to a bracket that doesn't play on Sunday.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of little considerations like that. The NCAA would prefer to, they cover all the travel and everything. They would prefer to put teams on buses, not planes. So that's why you will tend to see some sort of regional here and there. They don't adhere to it 100%. But when a not-so-great seeded team, so if Syracuse winds up in Hartford as a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed, it'll be because, you know, it's not likely. Okay, this year, it's that's a bad example. But it'll be because they're kind of, it's, to me, that would be unfair to the teams that they're playing, which happens once in a while. Better example is this. We go to San Jose a couple years ago. Syracuse played Cal and Montana in San Jose. And Syracuse was the best seeded team that was in, you know, it was a three seed, was the best seeded team that was there. That's unfair to the higher seeded team. Over time, Syracuse had that advantage for it, you know, and against. They've played in Albany and Buffalo, but they've played Michigan State and Detroit. They've played UMass and Worcester. It evens out over time.
There's a chance Syracuse could play New Hartford, Anaheim, too, the way they do the pod system, too. So,
well, is there any consideration to the fact that certain teams that play better on the road, like, did they take that into
account? No, that gets you in the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's among the considerations of how they parse one team over another is your road and neutral court environment and performance, because all the tournament games are in road and neutral courts. That being said, I mean, there will be some pockets here, and has happened historically. You know, Duke so many times in the NCAA tournament has opened in Charlotte, Greensboro. This year it could be Columbia, South Carolina, because they've earned it. They're typically a one or two seed. Syracuse has had its share of games like that. I have no problem. Virginia going through Washington, I have no problem. They've earned it. Syracuse in 03, everyone says, oh, they went through, first of all, it was Boston, you know, and then Albany. It wasn't like it was completely in your backyard. There's been a plenty closer. You know, Kansas is in Kansas City every now and again when they're a host. That's what you get by having a great season and being a power program, I think.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to go to break. Thanks so much for your time, Matt Park.
All right,
always
guys, enjoy.
Filling us in with the information that we have no idea about. We'll be right back.
Live from Coco and the Director in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Daniel Baldwin Show, brought to you by Pathfinder Bank, Ferone & Son Funeral Home, CNYRealtor.com, and GEICO.
Mike Shaha. Drop it, Bulk. Drop it. Drop it.
He's playing something off
Buddy
there.
Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor, baby. I love it. I love it. Jim from Pathfinder Bank decided to finally get out of bed and show up for one of the shows. I like that.
Come on, I was on an earlier segment. It was a long night last night, game ending at 11:30.
Do you know what the most exciting thing about this trip has been for me? You're involved in it.
It had to have been your lunch yesterday, then.
Was not the lunch yesterday, hanging out with you, although it was from the lunch, and I whispered this to the mole, so... I have said all along that for what I do, and this is not a dig on radio or a dig on this, but I don't, I could never make the money that I make in television and film that you can make doing radio, particularly a radio station in a market the size of Syracuse. So I've tried to look at ways that I can stay home and single parent my two young girls and still make a living, you know, that would allow me to put money away and take care of my kids for years to come. So, as I looked at what we do on this radio show and started Facebook Living the trips that I take with Paulie, it dawned on me there's a TV show in this for sure. And the feedback I'm getting from known producers in reality television are, you're very funny with this Paulie guy in the car. It's really funny. I said, well, I'm sitting doing the radio show for 2 hours a day. If I put a wide-angle lens in the studio and then single shots on us and intercut that with stuff that we do on the road and maybe a couple other scenes each episode, they went, you got a TV show for sure. So I brought it up to Jim and the great minds of Pathfinder, and I said, you know, we start talking about possibly getting involved, and now we're thinking, what's the title if Pathfinder Bank is the sponsor with the Pathfinder RV?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't we call the show Pathfinder because we're on the road?
I do like that direction, you know.
See something, yeah. I think there's a lunch in this, Paulie the Mole. I think we take them to the Century Club, we big dog them, and we find out about this because There is absolutely a TV series in this.
And our former tagline was Pathfinder, your financial guide. So we got to be able to tie this into the...
Yeah, there's something. Pathfinder, Paulie needs guidance.
I'm just dreading being in a car or an RV with you for hours.
And the camera on you.
Why are you negative? You write as your description on your Facebook, local celebrity, on your tombstone.
I didn't write that.
On your tombstone, you're a local celebrity.
You still can't grasp how a Facebook app works.
Why do you lie and pretend that you don't love the attention and you're not a natural TV star? You're a natural TV star.
I know. I used to do TV.
You're Tony Randall. You are. You're Tony
Way
Randall.
Way to be topical.
You're Tony Randall.
Everybody that was born in 1953 loves that joke.
You guys are the odd couple.
We are, man. Yeah. You know what? We'll do the show. We'll replace his sorry ass, and he'll miss not being on that show. He will. He'll miss not being on that show.
I don't think I would.
What's the next steps with Pathfinder towards it?
You're doing a business meeting on the air with a guy? How uncomfortable.
I can see you just sweating bullets over there. We take a lunch? We sketch it out?
Sure,
what do?
Take a lunch. We take a lunch. You explain the vision. Let's talk what we need from financing. We put together some sort of a business plan, and we'll look for some partners, and we'll try to get this done.
See? See?
I'm going to have to bribe Jim to say no.
Listen, I see gold, and I know it. So
Jim sees 9 more branches in the metro Syracuse area due to the show, the Pathfinder show.
Absolutely.
And he knows. He knows. He sees the bigger picture. He sees outside the box.
I'm thinking there's a mobile ATM just connected right to this RV we're driving around.
Drop it bulk. Prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. I love it so much. I'm gonna My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. It's the best.
You're so proud of yourself.
It's not that I made much greater predictions, but it's just the fact.
You're obviously proud of yourself. You called him and told him to cut it.
You missed the brilliance. Listen, you missed the brilliance of my production skills is what you're missing. I know that he eats you. My prediction, so, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. I could have you play that on a loop for the next half hour.
It's going to play in my mind for the next 48 hours. I'm going to be driving back to Syracuse with that stupid repeating in my head.
I would pay Tim big dollars to rig your car with speakers. I can go like this, and you can't find them, and it's playing.
Bluetooth it in.
Yeah, totally. It would be the greatest thing ever. With a camera on you going,
I would drive off a cliff.
You just see him yank the wheel off the ravine.
Like, Toots is the driving cat.
Yeah, and as he's going off the ravine, he just goes,
sweet release. sweet death.
It's over. Et tu, Brute. Jim, what else you got going? Are you leaving or are you staying to see Duke?
I'm staying to see Duke. I'm staying as long as they keep winning. I'm hoping that it's beyond tonight, but if Zion returns and it doesn't look like Tyus Battle's going to return, that's a big mountain to climb.
Yeah, I think even without Zion, it's a big mountain to climb without Tyus.
I agree.
He's a big factor in a victory over somebody that's that good. So, but you know what? You never know.
That's why you play the game.
You predict who's going to be the big factor tonight?
Yeah, I would love to hear it. Please, sure.
A guy said...
Share who the big factors. Go out on the limb. Say Zion Williams. Right.
Cam
Reddish. Mike Krzyzewski will be the big X factor.
Who's the... If Syracuse is to win tonight...
Chuka would have to have a huge game.
Okay.
I mean, last night was impressive. 9 rebounds, 6 blocks. He certainly shut down the driving lane on the young guard tandem from Pitt.
He was awesome.
He said that at 11:04. Bulk Hogan,
so you know where
he said that. So if Chukwu somehow puts up an Akeem Olajuwon night tonight,
if Chukwu scores 46, please go to 11:04.
If Chukwu scores over 10 points, I'll give you credit
Let
for
me
that
tell you something.
Alone.
If Chukwu scores 18, I quit.
You're begging now, Paulie.
I'm going to somehow bribe the Duke players to get the hell out of his way.
No, you know what I'm going to see? I want to see Chukwu at the line with 2 seconds left with 17 points, and he clanks two free throws. Paulie's like,
all of Syracuse praying that he makes it.
How dare you? How dare you? Number one show in all of New York State now.
Oh.
Did you not realize that?
I didn't realize we get to just brand
ourselves. Bo, like how many downloads do we get? 20,000 a day? What is it now? What's it up to?
It's around 25, there, 000? Yep. 25 or yeah. so, 25,000, yeah. Somewhere around
25,000 downloads a day.
Yeah.
Wow. Huge.
Big huge. Numbers.
It's a big show.
Look at Paulie. He's going through his phone going, do we get 25 downloads a day? My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. You know what? You give him. He's like the guy with the kid with the yarn with the cat. You know, once you show him the trick, he's just there all day long, messing with that cat. He knows now. I guess we're not going to see John Wildhack. Johnny forgot all about it. Forgot all about us.
I got to burn you in front of John Wildhack last night.
You did. You want to tell the story?
Yes. Yeah, so. Daniel was talking about his great prediction about Buddy Boeheim in front of John Wildhack last night. And he goes, hey, I was right, huh? I told you Buddy Boeheim was going to be the X Factor. And I said, yeah, I don't listen when you talk.
He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean? He goes, I don't listen when you talk. Like right in front of the AD. So great. Of course, they all start laughing at me, and I'm standing there holding the bag again. But that's what I do most shows that I have you on. So...
Why don't we take another quick break?
Let's take another quick break.
And should be here.
Where's the big Griff? He was here before, I think.
Yeah, I'll find him.
All right.
I'll text him.
We'll be right back after this.
Live from Coco and the Director in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Daniel Baldwin Show, brought to you by Pathfinder Bank, Ferone & Son Funeral Home, CNYRealtor.com, and GEICO.
Hey now.
Hey, go ahead and play for Coach Griff. We've got Coach Griff here. Why don't you play the genius that is Daniel Baldwin?
Why don't you play my prediction from yesterday?
Okay.
My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
You did say that.
Yeah.
I was here.
And that was before, now I give him credit, because that was before knowing Battle wasn't playing.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Right. I had no idea. Listen, I would have said we're in trouble. Yeah. I might have changed it.
He's getting an inside scoop here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. I know a coach named Griff. Chuk really showed up last night, Coach.
Yeah.
We're joined by Coach Griff.
Yeah, he was active. I'm sorry, Daniel. He was active on both ends of the court, especially the second half. He got a cheap one in the first half, which kind of he had to go out of the game for a little bit. But when he came back in, he was a difference maker. And, you know, Coach has been saying this all along since day one. When he plays the way he played last night and, you know, what he did in, you know, at Duke, I mean, we're a totally different team, especially defensively. And he was great last night.
He handled his business. You know, Paulie brings up a really – oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, for a guy who doesn't know much about the coaching X's and O's last night, what I saw happen with Chuk last night is – frame lit you guys up in the first half. In the second half, you guys were able to stretch out on him. Even if a guard got past you guys, he completely shut down the guards getting into the lane.
Right, definitely. And in order for us to be a good team moving forward, especially defensively, he's going to have to man down the middle and keep us from, give us an opportunity to get to these shooters, because guys are out there and they can shoot it, and they can shoot it from deep, and it just gives us a much better zone when we can be able to stretch out like that, and he manhandles the middle.
As his coach, how do you get him to do that every night?
Wow, you just pray.
You tell him. Daniel Baldwin said you're not going to the NBA.
Yeah.
Get him all mad.
Yeah, that one, or you know, and sometimes it's game by game, and you want him to be as consistent as possible, and it's just one of those things with him. That's his Achilles heel, whatever you want to call it, you know?
So we know it's a game-time decision for Tyus. We're kind of predicting, based on what Coach Boeheim had to say yesterday, he's probably not going to play. No. We're going to leave it at that. No. With that said, a couple of interesting scenarios have come up. If I'm coaching Zion, And I know they don't have Tyus. I'm thinking to myself, maybe I give him another day's rest. You know, what? but some people have suggested he may need to get out there just to get his legs back.
Definitely.
And so on and so forth. So we're not really sure what that looks like. But it's a much taller hill to climb, obviously, for us, a team that's already beaten Duke once this year and lost once. But to have to play them without our best player is a tall order for us. With that said, what as the Syracuse team do we do when it comes to Duke? It's different than playing Pitt. Right. What would we be looking for to happen? Are we going to shoot it up way outside just to see if we get hot to stay in the game, or is there a game plan you can talk about?
Yeah, you know the thing about yesterday, given say whoever we played. The ball was moving. You know, the guys shared the ball. Guys looked for each other. And not to say that they don't do that when Tyus is out there, but we as a coaching staff know that you got a guy who can score 20 points. You say, okay, give him the ball, everybody get out of the way, and let's make something happen. Whereas to yesterday, it was, you know, by committee. And when you're doing it by committee, it's a lot different. Teams can't, you know, load up on a guy like Tyus and make you do other things and enforce some stuff. So, I think we do. We have the same game plan. We do it by committee. We try to get O'Shea around the basket. You know, O'Shea got to play better too. You know, I mean, he was 2 for 8. He missed some layups, some bunnies around the rim, and he had a frustrating night. So we need him to play better, and hopefully he can play better. And, I think we do the same game plan. We do it by committee, and we share the ball and see what happens.
Drop it, Polk. My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
What did you see out of Frank last night? He was able to get in the lane, and there was actually a couple great plays. There was one where he got in the lane and was able to kick it out to Elijah for a wide-open three. It seemed like he was able to get around people last night.
Yeah, Frank played unbelievable, but it started when he opened up when he made his first 2 threes, and now teams you got to run at him, and it gives him an extra opportunity. I mean, you know, extra boost to getting around people and making plays. I thought Frank was phenomenal. I think his leadership, given not having Tyus, his leadership with the guys was great. Except for the technical foul, which.
What was that for?
It was just those guys were jarring the whole game. Yeah, the whole game they were going back and forth. And it was at times where it was worse during that, a different time than when they gave him the technical foul for. I just think the ref just got tired of both of those guys and said, you know what?
Right.
You guys are going to shut up or I'm going to make you shut up. So, Frank's leadership last night was great.
And you can look at me and tell me you're not going to answer this question, but does Frank play better when he knows that he's going to stay in the – like when he's going to stay in the game and
that's,
he's not
that's
got
every
someone,
player, definitely, definitely.
He's not going to get yanked after one mistake.
That's every player. It's very rare that you have a guy who knows that if he does something wrong, or, you know, we expect you to play a certain way, and if you don't do that, you're going to get yanked. And when you can come to a game and know at the end of the day that you just got free reign to just play. And not look over your shoulder, it gives you an extra, boost of confidence. And I think Frank took this as a challenge on himself, knowing that Tyus is not going to be there.
Yeah.
And him being a senior.
See him in the pregame.
Yes, I got to step up. And now I think that was it more so than anything.
So we had an interesting conversation. You know, my give me Chukwu with a cane in my hand and let him drop that ball below his chin, and I'll teach him. So we had the conversation about somebody called in, was talking about Merrick and his weight. And I said, well, obviously I'm kidding when I say I'm going to smash a kid with a broom.
Right, right.
But I'm going to an older philosophy and so on. And I said, drop that kid off at my house for the summer. and that Bobby Knight theory of, yeah, you're not going to be able to beat him. But Bobby Knight would have looked at him and would have said, if you don't weigh 20 more pounds by the end of the summer, you're not playing.
Right.
And you'd look at that and go, he means it.
Right.
You're like, I got to eat that much and right. Weigh shakes and right. And put that weight on. Do we baby him so much now?
You know, not really, because coaches from the old school too. But you know what? We didn't. you know, last year we didn't have the luxury of saying, hey, listen, you got to gain 20 pounds or you're not playing.
Right.
You know,
right.
He had to play right away. And what he did was, you know, he maybe weigh 190 pounds physically, but his heart weighs 250 pounds.
Right.
You know, he's in the trenches. He battles for ball.
Yeah, he's a tough kid.
He's a tough kid, and that goes a long way. He's willing to throw his body around amongst it with anybody. So, you know, yeah, we want in a perfect world, we want him to be 230 pounds at 6'11". Yeah, definitely. But, you know, right now he's not, and it's hard for him to gain weight.
Send him to the farm, coach.
Yeah.
I tell him he's crazy. They're feeding the kid.
Send him to the farm.
And yeah. I was telling him to, I remember sitting with Brad Pike after dinners back. I don't know if they still do it. And they would make Hakeem Mark eat ice cream. Like, he would have to have an ice cream sundae after every.
I'll shoot his steaks up with human growth hormones. That kid's going to walk out. He's going to have hair growing out of his neck going,
But he's a tough kid.
Yeah, he is. Hey, listen, he's not afraid to go in there and draw offensive.
He got sent about 20 feet last night trying to draw a charge.
Think about the one he did. Zion got him.
We'll make that mistake.
Yeah. Oh, Zion blasted him.
Yeah.
But Buddy took one last night, too. Yeah. Go ahead. Drop it, Bo. Drop it. My prediction, Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor.
All right. We got to end this disaster because we're going to bring you coverage of the ACC tournament. Let's thank everybody that put this on.
Everybody,
Pathfinder.
Thank you. Thank you, Pathfinder. Thanks, Coach Griff.
Griff, for coming down both days. The nice people here at Coco and the director right in the Marriott lobby. When Syracuse beats Duke tonight, if you're coming down for the semis and championship, come check out Coco and the director. There's always a line in here. This place is packed all the time.
Chute goes for 18 tonight?
18 and 18.
Do you know what? He said if Chute goes for 18, he'd quit his job. Yeah. I am praying.
I didn't mean this job. Oh, you thought I meant the radio job?
You can't quit your acting job. Yeah. Nobody's hiring you.
I just booked two movies. I get to say bye-bye to you for all of May.
Hey, yes. Let me say this. If Chu gets 18, you streak down this street right here.
No, I don't want people to have a heart attack. I don't want to scare people.
Yeah,
I'll come up with something.
Definitely.
We'll have full ACC coverage for you guys for the next 3-4 days, whatever it is. And
go Syracuse.
Daniel,
thank you everybody for listening to the show.
We'll
my
be prediction,
back Buddy Boeheim is the X Factor. Thank you. Way to go, Bulk. We're out.